Most people never become the best at anything because they settle too soon. That's the hard truth behind this book. 10 rules to be the best at anything. If you've ever felt like you could do more, like you've got something inside you waiting to come out, then these words are for you. Success doesn't happen by accident. It comes from rules, rules that guide how you work, how you think, and how you show up every single day. This isn't about magic formulas or big promises. It's about what really works. It's about the small choices that separate those who stay average from those who stand out. These 10 rules are built from real life, from human behavior, from the struggles and victories we all go through. If you're tired of wasting time, if you're done living below your potential, this book will give you the path. Not someday. Starting now. Chapter 1. Decide to be the best, and own that choice. When a man or woman makes the decision to be the best at anything, life changes. It is not a casual wish. It is not a vague hope. It is a decision. That decision has weight. It carries responsibility. It pulls you forward, and it shapes what you do from the moment you wake up until you close your eyes at night. Many people drift through life never truly deciding. They try a little here, a little there, waiting for something outside of them to decide for them. That is why so many never rise above average. The real difference begins the moment you say with conviction, "I will be the best, and I will take full responsibility for that choice." The power of this choice is in the clarity it gives you. Without a decision, your days scatter in many directions. You dabble. You half try. You give effort when it feels easy, and you pull back when it feels heavy. But once you decide, hesitation shrinks. The distractions lose their power. You begin to notice what matters most, and you act with intention. Human psychology tells us that clarity drives behavior. When your mind believes the decision is final, it begins to align every thought and every action toward fulfilling it. Think about the times in your life when you were absolutely certain. Maybe you decided you would graduate no matter what. Maybe you decided you would provide for your family. Maybe you decided to lose weight or quit a habit. That certainty changed your behavior overnight. You stopped negotiating with yourself. You did not ask every day whether you should or should not. You knew. You had chosen. That is the way it works with becoming the best. It is not talent first. It is not luck. It is not the breaks you catch. It is that deep decision to rise above average and to pay the price for it. Owning the choice is as important as making it. Many people say they want greatness, but when the pressure comes, they look for someone or something to blame. They say the boss did not notice. The economy was tough. Their friends held them back. Or the timing was not right. But those who own the choice never shift responsibility outward. They understand the weight of the decision. They accept that being the best will demand sacrifice. They accept that discipline is not convenient. They accept that long hours will test their patience. They own both the rewards and the hardships. This ownership builds character. It builds trust in yourself. It makes you reliable in your own eyes. Being the best does not begin with skill. Skill grows later. It begins with the choice that you will not settle. Psychology shows us that when you create an identity around being the best, your actions begin to match that identity. If you call yourself average, you behave average. If you call yourself a learner, you keep seeking knowledge. And if you call yourself the best, you hold yourself to standards that stretch you. This is not arrogance. This is alignment. You choose who you are, and then you back it with consistent action. Some will say that deciding to be the best is unrealistic. They fear disappointment. They believe it is safer to aim low and avoid the pain of failure. But think about the cost of that belief. If you choose not to be the best, then you accept being less than what you could be. You accept regret. You accept mediocrity. That choice also carries a cost, and it is heavier in the long run. Human beings thrive when they pursue mastery, when they feel progress, when they know they are giving their all. The pain of effort is temporary. The pain of regret lingers. Once you decide, you must guard that decision daily. The world is full of noise. Opinions will come from every direction. Some will tell you that you are working too hard. Others will say you are not talented enough. Some will suggest you lower your standards so you can fit in. The test is whether you remain anchored in your decision. Psychology has proven that consistency of identity is powerful. When you have publicly declared who you are and what you are aiming for, you fight harder to stay true to it. This is why owning the choice matters. You speak it, you believe it, and you refuse to back down when challenged. To be the best, you must also accept that comparison is natural, but not controlling. You will see others with advantages. You will see others win quickly. You may feel behind, but owning your decision means you commit to your path regardless of what others are doing. You take inspiration from them, but you stay locked on your own progress. Human nature wants to compare, but discipline demands that you measure against your own standards. Every time you improve, every time you deliver better than yesterday, you are honoring your choice. Emotion plays a huge role here. The decision to be the best is not purely logical, it is emotional. It comes from that deep desire to matter, to achieve, to prove to yourself that you can. When you feel tired, logic alone will not keep you moving. But when you connect to the emotional weight of your decision, when you remember why you chose to be the best, your energy returns. You push harder, you work longer, you endure. Owning the choice means staying connected to that emotional drive and using it to fuel consistent action. Think about how life feels when you walk into a room knowing you gave your best. There is a sense of pride. You do not need applause. You do not need recognition. You know, that feeling cannot be bought. It cannot be given by someone else. It only comes from the decision to set a high standard and to keep it. And over time, that reputation grows. People trust you. They admire you. They respect you because they see that you follow through. But the most important respect is the one you gain for yourself. You look in the mirror and you like the person staring back. Deciding to be the best and owning that choice also builds resilience. Life will test you. You will face failures. You will make mistakes. You will encounter setbacks. If you have not made the decision deeply, those obstacles will knock you out. But if your decision is firm, the obstacles only sharpen you. You ask, "What did I learn?" You adjust. You keep going. Ownership means no excuses. Ownership means everything is fuel. Ownership means you rise after each fall and keep climbing, because your choice was not temporary, it was final. You cannot wait for others to give you permission. The choice must be yours. Some people wait for the right moment, the right encouragement, the right support. But the truth is that no one can decide for you. No one can hand you excellence. No one can make you the best without your will. That is why this first rule matters so much. If you fail to decide, none of the other steps will stick. If you succeed in deciding, the rest will align naturally, because your mind and body will now search for ways to back up the choice. Imagine the practical changes that come after this decision. You wake earlier. You study longer. You review your mistakes instead of hiding from them. You practice when no one is watching. You decline distractions. You choose friends who support your mission. You use your free time wisely. These are not burdens anymore. They are simply the natural expression of your choice. They feel heavy only when the decision has not been made. Once you own it, they feel necessary and even fulfilling. The truth is, everyone has the capacity to be the best at something. The difference is that few decide to take that path. Many allow fear, doubt, or laziness to stop them before they begin. But psychology proves that decisions backed by commitment can rewire behavior. When you identify as someone pursuing the best, you begin to act with discipline, courage, and persistence. Over time, that identity becomes reality. Excellence is no longer just a goal, it becomes who you are. So the first step in this journey is not a skill, it is not a strategy, it is not a tool, it is a choice. Decide to be the best. Own that choice fully. Carry it into your thoughts, your actions, your relationships, and your habits. Do not hide from it. Do not excuse it. Do not shrink it down to fit in with others. Let it shape you. Let it push you. Let it define the standard you live by. Every great achievement you see around you began with this simple but powerful act. Someone, somewhere, decided. They did not wait. They did not ask for permission. They said, "This is who I am going to be." And they lived it. That same opportunity stands before you right now. You can make the choice. You can own it. And if you do, you will set in motion a chain of events that can take you further than you ever imagined. Chapter 2. Work longer hours than anyone who wants your spot. If you want to be the best at anything, you must accept one reality. Someone else out there wants the same spot you want. They want the recognition, they want the reward, and they want the position. The question is, how badly do you want it compared to them? The truth is, most people are not willing to put in the extra hours. They will talk about wanting success. They will say they dream about it, but when the clock strikes the end of the day, they are ready to rest. They check out. They go home. The ones who rise to the top are the ones who stay a little longer, work a little harder, and put in the hours that others are not willing to. This is not about overworking for the sake of exhaustion. It is about proving to yourself and to the competition that you will not be outworked. If you want to secure your place, if you want to hold on to your spot, you have to show up with more consistency and more dedication than anyone else. Working longer hours does not mean mindlessly filling time. It means using those extra hours with focus, with purpose, and with an attitude that says, "I am here to do what others won't." Think about every great athlete, every successful business owner, every master of a craft. They all share this common trait. They stayed in the gym when others left. They studied one more page when others closed the book. They made one more call when others put down the phone. They built a habit of going beyond the minimum required. That is where greatness is built. Most people stop when it is acceptable to stop. The best keep going until they are satisfied that they cannot do one more thing today to move themselves forward. You may wonder if working longer hours is sustainable. It is when you have prepared. The mind and the body adjust to what you demand of them. When you give your time to meaningful effort, it fuels you instead of draining you. Those extra hours become a source of pride. You begin to measure yourself not against what others are doing, but against the standard you have set for yourself. And when you look back at the end of the day, you know you did not waste it. The competition is real. Someone out there is training, learning, practicing, working, while you are resting. You do not have to live in fear of that person, but you should live with the awareness that excellence is always contested. The spot you want, whether it is in business, in sports, in leadership, or in any field, is never given permanently. It must be earned again and again. And the way you earn it is by putting in the hours that others avoid. It is easy to talk about dreams. It is easy to visualize success. What separates the talkers from the doers is what they are willing to sacrifice in terms of time. Every hour you invest beyond the average is an hour that compounds into mastery. The brain learns through repetition. The body grows through effort. The skills sharpen through practice. If you cut your time short, you cut your progress short. If you extend your time, you extend your edge over everyone else. Working longer hours also builds discipline. The more you demand of yourself, the stronger your will becomes. When you stay with the task while others quit, you create mental toughness. That toughness carries into every part of your life. It gives you resilience when problems show up. It gives you patience when results are slow. It gives you confidence because you know you have already proven to yourself that you will not stop when others do. That confidence becomes part of your identity. You no longer ask if you can do it. You know you can because you have trained yourself to outlast the competition. But understand this, those extra hours are not about mindless grinding. They are about strategic effort. Ask yourself, what do I need to do in these hours to become better than I was yesterday? If you are an athlete, it might be refining one movement, strengthening one weakness, or studying one opponent. If you are in business, it might be reading one book, making one extra sale, or refining one strategy. The extra hours must be invested wisely. They are not about burning energy, but about building skill and advantage. People will question you when you work longer hours. They will say you are obsessed. They will tell you to slow down. They will remind you of balance. But balance for most people is an excuse for laziness. They want to justify their lack of effort by pointing to moderation. There is nothing wrong with rest, but if you want to be the best, rest cannot be your main pursuit. The best rest with purpose. They recharge so they can come back stronger, not so they can avoid work. The hours you put in will separate you, and the critics will one day applaud the results that came from your sacrifice. Working longer hours does not just sharpen skill, it reveals character. In those quiet hours when no one is watching, you learn who you are. You face boredom, fatigue, doubt, and distraction. And you overcome them. That process shapes you into someone who is not easily shaken. When others panic, you remain steady. When others get tired, you push through. When others give excuses, you give effort. This is what being the best requires. You may ask yourself if it is worth it. The answer is found in the results. Think about what it feels like to finally achieve something others thought was out of reach. Think about the pride of knowing you earned your place. Think about the satisfaction of walking into any room, knowing that no one there outworked you. That is worth the hours. That is worth the sweat. That is worth the sacrifice. If you truly want to protect your spot, if you truly want to rise to the top, you must decide right now that no one will outwork you. If they show up for 8 hours, you show up for 10. If they practice 3 times a week, you practice every day. If they review once, you review 3 times. Outworking others is not about showing off. It is about making sure that when the results come, no one can say they wanted it more than you. And remember, working longer hours builds momentum. At first it feels heavy. The body complains, the mind resists. But soon it becomes your rhythm. You get used to the grind. You begin to crave progress. Those extra hours become part of your lifestyle, not a special occasion. That is when you know you are truly committed. You no longer see the work as punishment. You see it as privilege. You get to work longer because you want the top spot, and you are willing to earn it. Time is the one thing everyone has equally. What separates people is how they use it. While most waste it, you can invest it. Every extra hour you put in is a deposit in the bank of mastery. Over months and years, those deposits grow into skills that others cannot match. They wonder how you got so good. They wonder why you are always one step ahead. The answer is simple. You worked longer hours than they did. You claimed your spot not by luck, but by choice. So decide that your work ethic will be unmatched. Decide that no one will look back and say you coasted or relied on luck. Decide that you will protect your spot with relentless effort. The longer hours are not punishment. They are the proof that you mean what you say. They are the proof that you will do what others are not willing to. And in the end, those hours will speak louder than any word. Because when the competition fades, when the talkers go silent, when the lazy fall behind, the one who remains is the one who worked longer, harder, and smarter than anyone else. That is how you become the best. That is how you own your spot. And that is how you stay there.
Chapter 3. Practice daily until your skill becomes second nature. Excellence does not come in sudden bursts. It does not arrive overnight. It grows from repeated action, deliberate practice, and relentless refinement. To be the best at anything, you must commit yourself to daily practice until what once felt difficult becomes effortless and natural. Skill is built one repetition at a time, and the secret is to repeat so often that the action no longer feels forced. It becomes automatic. It becomes part of who you are. Many people underestimate the power of daily practice. They assume that talent alone will carry them, or they believe a few hours here and there will be enough. But the truth is, talent without consistent practice fades. Natural ability gives you a starting point, but only daily effort transforms that ability into mastery. The human brain wires itself through repetition. Each time you perform a skill, you strengthen the pathways that control it. Over time, those pathways become stronger, faster, and more reliable. What was once slow becomes quick. What was once shaky becomes smooth. What was once uncertain becomes second nature. Daily practice is not about perfection on the first attempt. It is about showing up every day and improving by small degrees. Those small improvements compound. They may feel invisible in the moment, but over weeks and months, the growth is undeniable. When you practice every day, you eliminate the gaps where skill could fade. You stay sharp. You stay ready. You build a rhythm that keeps your progress moving forward even when motivation feels low. Consider the difference between someone who practices once a week and someone who practices daily. The weekly effort might feel intense for a moment, but then days of inactivity cause the skill to fade. By the time they return, they must relearn what they lost. The daily effort, however, stacks on itself. There is no backsliding. There is only steady progress. Over months, the daily practitioner leaves the weekly one far behind. That is how champions are made. Daily practice also shapes your mindset. It teaches discipline, patience, and humility. Discipline, because you learn to show up even when you do not feel like it. Patience, because mastery is slow, and you must be willing to keep going without immediate reward. Humility, because daily practice reveals your weaknesses and forces you to confront them. Each session teaches you something new about yourself. It strips away the illusion of instant success and reminds you that greatness is earned, not given. There is another benefit to daily practice. It reduces fear. Many people hesitate because they fear mistakes. They want to feel confident before they act, but confidence is built through repetition. The more you practice, the less intimidating the skill becomes. Your hands move without hesitation. Your voice carries without doubt. Your body knows what to do before your mind even thinks. That kind of confidence cannot be faked. It must be earned through practice until the skill becomes second nature. Daily practice also separates the serious from the casual. Anyone can show up once in a while. Anyone can give effort when it is convenient. But the person who shows up every single day, no matter the mood, no matter the weather, no matter the circumstances, is the one who rises above the rest. That kind of consistency builds a reputation. People trust you because they see your commitment. They respect you because you live your standards, not just talk about them. To practice daily does not mean practicing endlessly without rest. It means setting aside deliberate time every day to refine your craft. Even if it is 30 minutes, even if it is one focused hour, the key is to keep the chain unbroken. You cannot afford gaps if you want mastery. The human mind thrives on consistency. Break the rhythm too often, and you lose momentum. Keep the rhythm alive and you accelerate growth. The truth is, practice is not always exciting. It can be repetitive. It can be tiring. It can feel slow. But this is where psychology plays a role. When you connect your daily practice to a larger purpose, you see beyond the repetition. You understand that each session is a step toward becoming the best. You remind yourself that mastery is hidden inside those ordinary moments. Every time you show up, you are building something others cannot see until the results appear. Think about how powerful it feels when you perform a skill effortlessly. Others may struggle, hesitate, or overthink, but you flow with confidence. That is not magic. That is the result of practice, so consistent that the action has fused into your nature. People will look at you and say you make it look easy. They will not see the hours. They will not see the repetition. They will not see the practice behind the scenes. But you will know. And that knowledge will give you unshakable confidence. Daily practice also builds resilience against distraction. In a world filled with noise, most people jump from one thing to another. They rarely stay with one discipline long enough to master it. But when you practice daily, you anchor yourself. You resist the temptation to scatter your focus. You prove to yourself that you can commit to something fully. That kind of focus is rare, and it gives you an edge. One of the greatest rewards of daily practice is how it reshapes your identity. At first, you might see yourself as someone trying. Over time, you become someone doing. Eventually, you see yourself as someone who has mastered. That shift in identity is powerful. It changes how you carry yourself. It changes how you speak. It changes how others see you. All of it comes back to the hours you invested day after day. Daily practice also prepares you for pressure. When the spotlight is on, nerves often take over. But if you have practiced so much that the skill is second nature, nerves cannot stop you. Your body and mind know exactly what to do. You do not have to think, you simply perform. That is the difference between those who crumble under pressure and those who shine. The ones who shine have repeated their craft so many times that they cannot fail to act. Their preparation carries them. The habit of daily practice extends beyond the skill itself. It shapes how you live. You begin to approach other areas of life with the same dedication. You eat better, because you know your body needs energy. You sleep with intention, because you want to recover for another day of practice. You organize your time because you refuse to waste. You surround yourself with people who support your growth. The discipline you build in one area spreads into every part of your life. Most importantly, daily practice creates fulfillment. There is deep satisfaction in knowing you are growing, in feeling your skill sharpen, in realizing you are closer today than yesterday. That feeling of progress fuels motivation. You no longer depend on external rewards. You do not wait for recognition. The practice itself becomes rewarding. You enjoy the process as much as the result. That is when you know you are on the path to mastery. To reach the level where your skill is second nature, you must remove the option of inconsistency. You must treat daily practice as non-negotiable. Just as you eat every day, just as you breathe every day, you must practice every day. When it becomes part of your lifestyle, it no longer feels forced. It feels natural. It feels necessary. That is the key to greatness. You do not have to practice for endless hours at once. What matters most is the daily rhythm, the repetition, the decision to keep the chain alive. If you keep showing up, even in small amounts, the compound effect will take over. One day you will look back and realize how far you have come. And when you perform, it will feel as if the skill flows out of you without effort. That is the result of practice so consistent, so deliberate, that it has become second nature. The choice is yours. You can dabble, practice when it feels convenient, and settle for average. Or you can commit, practice daily, and rise to mastery. The path is clear. The difference is not in talent, not in luck, but in the simple discipline of daily practice. Do it until the skill is yours, not borrowed, not temporary, but permanent. Do it until it becomes part of you. That is how you become the best.
Chapter 4. Study details others ignore and gain the hidden edge. The difference between good and great is often found in the smallest details,
Most people see the surface, the obvious, the big steps that everyone else is looking at. They practice the basics, they copy what others do, and they stay in the comfort of what is visible. But the ones who truly become the best look deeper. They notice what others miss. They study the tiny adjustments, the hidden pieces, the overlooked factors that silently shape the outcome. That hidden edge is what allows someone to rise above the crowd and stay there. Human nature wants shortcuts. Our minds prefer to focus on the large, easy-to-see aspects of progress because they are simple to measure. It feels good to say we trained hard, we worked long, we gave our best effort, but effort without attention to detail leaves gaps. And gaps are where opportunities slip away. The hidden edge is only available to those who slow down, who examine carefully, who refuse to ignore what most people dismiss as unimportant. When you decide to study details others ignore, you develop a sharper awareness. You start to see connections and patterns that were invisible before. You begin to understand not just how to do something, but why it works. That deeper understanding gives you control. Instead of hoping things turn out right, you know exactly how to adjust and improve. This awareness builds confidence because you no longer depend on luck or chance. You can create results deliberately. Think about any feel. In sports, it might be the angle of the foot, the timing of the breath, the positioning of the hand. In business, it could be the tone of your voice in a negotiation, the precision of a follow-up, the way you listen for what is not being said. In relationships, it could be the pause before answering, the care you show in remembering small things, the attention you give to someone's emotions. These are not grand gestures, they are subtle actions, often invisible to others, but they build massive advantage when repeated consistently. Most people fail to notice these details because they are in a rush. They want quick results. They want visible progress. They want shortcuts that look impressive. But if you slow down and pay attention, you will realize that the details carry more weight than the surface actions. The person who wins is usually not the one with the most talent, but the one who noticed something the others ignored and used it to their advantage. The hidden edge also requires curiosity. You must be willing to ask questions that others never think to ask. Why does this method work better in one situation and not another? Why do some succeed with less effort while others fail despite hard work? What small change could make a large difference in the outcome? Curiosity leads you to discoveries that remain invisible to the casual observer. Curiosity turns ordinary practice into a laboratory for improvement. Studying details also demands humility. It takes humility to admit that the big picture alone is not enough. It takes humility to look at your performance and search for micro errors, subtle weaknesses, or small flaws. Ego wants to believe that you are already doing everything right. Humility allows you to break down your actions into pieces, examine each one, and rebuild stronger. The best do not avoid criticism. They welcome it, because every correction exposes a detail that can give them an advantage. Psychology shows that the brain filters out most of what it sees and hears. It focuses only on what it believes is important. This is why most people miss details. They train their brains to look for shortcuts, to avoid hard thinking, to stick to what is familiar. But if you train your brain to search for hidden details, you sharpen your focus in a way that few others ever do. You rewire your attention. You see what others cannot. That ability makes you valuable because you can solve problems others overlook. There is also a psychological edge gained by knowing you have studied deeper than anyone else. When you step into competition, you carry quiet confidence. You know you have prepared not only with time and energy, but with precision. You know that you understand things your opponents never notice. That awareness gives you calm under pressure. While others second-guess themselves, you rely on the details you mastered. Confidence comes not from empty words, but from hidden preparation. The hidden edge is not glamorous. You do not post it online. You do not brag about it. It is invisible to almost everyone, except in the results. People will watch you perform and wonder how you made it look so smooth, how you reacted so quickly, how you always seem prepared. They will not know the hours you spent analyzing film, rehearsing tiny movements, studying responses, or refining your notes. But those unseen hours are exactly what gave you the edge. Studying details also saves you from unnecessary failure. Many mistakes happen not because someone lacked effort, but because they ignored something small. A missed step, a forgotten number, a sloppy habit, a lack of preparation for a rare situation. These small oversights destroy opportunity. The best protect themselves by paying attention to every detail. They reduce the risk of careless errors. They make sure nothing is left unchecked. That thoroughness separates them from the careless and the average. It is important to realize that most people will not have the patience to study details. That is your advantage. The world rewards speed, surface action, and shortcuts. Very few slow down enough to go deeper. But mastery belongs to those who pay the price of attention. If you train yourself to see what others ignore, you automatically rise above the competition. It is not always about being faster or stronger. Sometimes it is simply about being more observant, more prepared, and more precise. Every field has hidden details waiting to be discovered. The musician who notices the subtle shifts in timing creates a sound that moves people. The doctor who observes small changes in a patient's behavior, catches a problem early. The speaker who pays attention to body language, connects deeply with the audience. The leader who notices small changes in team morale prevents a crisis before it grows. Details drive success in every arena of life. There is also joy in mastering details. It gives you a sense of control and craftsmanship. You no longer feel like a beginner stumbling in the dark. You feel like an artist shaping your craft with care. Each improvement, no matter how small, adds to your sense of mastery. This satisfaction builds motivation. You no longer need external rewards because you can see and feel your own growth. Daily commitment to studying details transforms your identity. You stop thinking like the average. You start thinking like an expert. You begin to hold yourself to higher standards. You no longer settle for good enough. You know that greatness is hidden in the small things, and you are willing to do what it takes to find them. That mindset alone places you ahead of most people, because most will never care enough to go that deep. At first, studying details may feel overwhelming. There are so many pieces, so many things to notice, but over time it becomes natural. Your eyes sharpen, your awareness expands, your instincts grow stronger. You begin to catch things instantly that once slipped by unnoticed. This process builds mastery, and mastery brings freedom. You are no longer bound by surface-level understanding. You can adapt, innovate, and lead with precision. The hidden edge is not a single discovery. It is a lifestyle. It is the habit of asking more questions, paying closer attention, digging deeper, and refusing to overlook the small thing. It is the standard you live by, knowing that the tiny details separate the ordinary from the extraordinary. When you make this your way of life, you no longer fear competition. You welcome it, because you know you are prepared in ways they are not. Every person who ever reached the highest levels of success had this trait. They studied harder. They observed longer. They refined endlessly. They noticed details that others brushed aside. That was their advantage. That can be your advantage too. Decide today that you will not just do the obvious. You will look deeper, study closer, and gain the hidden edge that lifts you above the rest. Because in the end, it is not the loudest, the strongest, or the most talented who stays on top. It is the one who paid attention when others did not. It is the one who studied the details others ignored. It is the one who gained the hidden edge and never let it go.
Chapter 5. Push harder in boring moments,
where most people quit. Most people think success is lost in dramatic failures, but in truth, it slips away in the boring moments, in the dull repetitions, in the days when nothing exciting happens. These are the moments where the majority slow down, get distracted, or give up altogether. The difference between those who rise to the top and those who stay average is how they handle the ordinary. The champions are the ones who push harder when the work feels dull, when progress seems invisible, and when every part of them wants to stop. The human mind craves novelty. We want stimulation, variety, and excitement. That is why so many people start projects full of energy and then abandon them when the grind sets in. At the beginning, everything feels fresh. Motivation is high, but once the routines become repetitive, boredom creeps in. The average person interprets that boredom as a signal to stop. They assume if it feels dull, it must not be working anymore. But the truth is, those boring moments are where mastery is built. Pushing harder in that space is what creates separation. If you want to be the best at anything, you must understand that repetition is not the enemy, it is the foundation. Doing the same thing again and again is not a waste of time, it is how your brain wires itself for excellence. The boring moments are the unseen bricks that build the wall of success. Each time you resist the urge to quit, you place another brick. Over time, you have a fortress of skill, discipline, and resilience that others simply do not have because they quit when the work felt lifeless. Pushing harder in those moments requires a shift in perspective. Instead of seeing boredom as a burden, see it as a test. Boredom asks, "Do you really want this, or are you just playing with the idea?" When you continue through the dullness, you prove to yourself that you are serious. You prove that your commitment is stronger than your moods. You build trust in yourself, because you know you will not give up just because the excitement faded. That trust is what keeps you going in every area of life. The people who stop at boredom never discover the breakthrough waiting on the other side. Progress often hides just past the point where you want to quit. The muscles grow in the last few repetitions, not the first. The real learning happens after the initial enthusiasm wears off. The hidden improvement arrives when you keep practicing long after the thrill is gone. But most will never see it, because they walked away too early. The edge belongs to the few who stay. Psychology shows that humans overestimate what they can achieve in the short term, but underestimate what they can achieve with consistent long-term effort. Boring moments feel useless because they do not produce instant results. But stacked over weeks and months, those moments create transformation. The brain adapts, the body changes, and the skill sharpens. The process is quiet, often invisible, but relentless. And the only way to experience it is to keep going when everything in you screams for relief. There is also a mental strength that grows from pushing through boredom. You learn to focus without constant stimulation. You build patience, you strengthen the ability to delay gratification. These traits are rare in a world addicted to instant reward. The person who can endure repetition without excitement gains a psychological advantage over everyone else. They do not need constant novelty to stay committed. They can stay with the grind until the results appear. That is the type of person who rises above the rest. Think about the competitors in your field. Many of them are talented. Many of them start strong. But watch what happens when the routine becomes monotonous. They begin to lose interest. They begin to miss days. They begin to justify slacking off, because they feel burned out. This is where you can separate yourself. When others ease up, you push harder. When others take shortcuts, you stay consistent. When others walk away, you stay standing. That difference accumulates until it becomes unbridgeable. It is important to recognize that boredom is not a signal of failure. It is a signal of growth. It means you are moving past the surface and entering deeper layers of discipline. It means you are training your brain and body beyond the need for constant stimulation. It means you are reaching the stage where automatic mastery can develop. If you quit here, you stop just before the payoff. If you push harder, you cross into territory most people never reach. The truth is, nobody talks about the boring hours when they celebrate success. They talk about the big wins, the awards, the breakthroughs. But behind all of it are thousands of dull hours, quiet practice sessions, long nights of repetition, countless cycles of the same drills. Those hours are invisible, but they are the foundation of everything visible. If you embrace them, you unlock a level of growth that cannot be achieved any other way. You can make boredom your ally by turning it into focus. When others see monotony, choose to see opportunity. Tell yourself, this is where the average stop, and this is where I separate myself. Every time you continue, you carve your place higher on the ladder. You create an identity as someone who does not give up. You train yourself to see value in the dull moments, because you know they lead to extraordinary results. Pushing harder in boring moments also forces creativity. When you stick with repetition long enough, you begin to notice subtle variations. You start to experiment. You find new ways to make the routine more effective. That experimentation sharpens your skill even further. While others quit before they even notice these layers, you unlock them by staying longer. Mastery is not just about doing more. It is about doing deeper. And you only discover depth when you outlast boredom. There will always be a temptation to avoid the dull work by chasing something new. A new project, a new challenge, a new distraction. But jumping from one thing to another keeps you at the surface. It gives you short bursts of excitement, but it robs you of true mastery. The best resist this temptation. They know that excellence requires staying with one thing long enough to reach the deeper levels of skill. They do not chase novelty. They chase growth, even when it is hidden beneath layers of boredom. The reward for pushing harder during boring moments is not only external success, it is also internal pride. You know you stayed when others quit. You know you honored your commitment. You know you built strength in silence. That pride cannot be taken away. It becomes part of your identity. You carry it with you everywhere and it fuels you for even greater challenges. The ability to push harder in boring moments is rare, but it can be trained. Start by making boredom your test, not your excuse. Each time you feel it, remind yourself that this is where most people stop. This is your chance to separate yourself. Train your mind to stay focused even when it feels dull. The more you do it, the stronger you become. Over time, boredom loses its power over you. It no longer signals a reason to quit. It becomes a reason to push. Every great achievement is built on thousands of invisible, uneventful hours. They may not look glamorous. They may not impress anyone at the time. But when you push harder in those hours, you build a foundation that others cannot see until the day comes when you shine. Then they will wonder how you became so skilled, so confident, so resilient. They will not understand that the answer lies in all those boring moments where you refuse to quit. The truth is simple. Most people stop when the work gets dull. The best keep going. That is the hidden separator. That is the unspoken rule of greatness. And if you can push harder in boring moments where most people quit, you will earn a place among the few who achieve mastery.
Chapter 6. Track progress daily and fix every small weak point. If you want to be the best at anything, you cannot afford to move blindly. You cannot guess your way forward. You cannot simply hope progress is happening. You must know. You must measure. You must look closely at where you stand today and where you stood yesterday. Success is not built on vague hopes. It is built on concrete actions tracked consistently. Every day gives you information.
Every day shows you whether you are moving closer to mastery or whether you are slipping behind. That is why tracking your progress daily and fixing every small weak point is not optional. It is the foundation of growth. The mind can easily play tricks. It tells you that you are doing better than you really are. It convinces you that one missed step does not matter. It creates the illusion of progress when in reality, you might be repeating the same mistakes. This is why daily tracking matters. When you write it down, when you measure it, when you record it, the truth becomes visible. You can no longer hide behind feelings. You see the reality in front of you, and reality is the only thing you can improve. Tracking progress daily keeps you accountable. It eliminates excuses. When the numbers are in front of you, when the patterns are visible, you cannot lie to yourself. You know whether you gave your best effort. You know whether you improved even slightly. Accountability creates discipline. When you know you will have to face the record at the end of the day, you push harder during the day. You do not want to write down that you failed to show up. You want to prove to yourself that you did what was required. But tracking alone is not enough. You must also fix every small weak point. Many people keep repeating the same flaws because they never stop to identify them. They ignore small errors, thinking they do not matter. Yet those tiny flaws add up. They become habits. They become barriers. They grow until they hold you back from reaching the next level. The best do not allow small weaknesses to remain. They search for them, expose them, and correct them quickly. That constant refinement builds strength. Small weak points are often easier to fix than major flaws, but most people overlook them because they seem insignificant. They are not. Think about the missed note in a song, the wrong angle in a movement, the skipped step in preparation. Each one by itself may seem minor, but together they separate average from extraordinary. If you ignore them, you stay stuck. If you correct them, you build an edge. That edge, over time, compounds into mastery. Tracking progress daily sharpens your awareness. It forces you to pay attention to details that would otherwise go unnoticed. You begin to see patterns. You notice when your energy drops, when your focus drifts, when your performance weakens. You start to connect causes and effects. You realize that certain habits help you improve faster, while others hold you back. That awareness gives you control. Without it, you are at the mercy of guesswork. With it, you become deliberate. There is a psychological benefit to tracking. It builds motivation through visible progress. When you can look back and see how far you have come, it fuels your drive to keep going. Many people quit because they feel stuck, but often they are not stuck. They are just not measuring. They cannot see the slow improvement. When you track daily, the progress becomes visible. It may be small, but it is real. And real progress is the greatest motivator. Tracking also prevents you from slipping backward unnoticed. Without measurement, decline can creep in silently. You think you are maintaining when in reality, you are losing ground. Daily tracking exposes decline quickly. You catch it before it becomes a serious problem. You can correct it immediately. That vigilance keeps you sharp. It ensures that your standards never drop below the level required to be the best. Fixing weak points requires honesty. It is not comfortable to admit where you are failing. It is easier to focus only on strength. But real growth comes from addressing weaknesses. Every time you fix one, you remove a barrier. You unlock new levels of performance. You reduce vulnerability. You become stronger, more complete, more resilient. Weak points ignored will eventually expose you under pressure. Weak points corrected turn into strength that carry you through challenges. The process is simple but powerful. Track your actions daily. Review them honestly. Identify one small weak point. Work on fixing it. Repeat the process every day. Over weeks and months, this creates relentless improvement. You do not need giant leaps. You need small, consistent adjustments. Those adjustments compound into excellence. This is how the best separate themselves. They improve faster than others because they fix flaws before they grow. Many people overcomplicate improvement. They look for big breakthroughs, dramatic changes, sudden transformation. But the truth is, greatness is built on small corrections, repeated daily. If you commit to tracking and fixing, you will be amazed at how much you can grow. Each day becomes an opportunity to refine. Each day becomes a chance to improve one detail. That level of consistency is unstoppable. Tracking progress also teaches responsibility. You stop blaming external factors. You stop waiting for luck. You own the results because you see them clearly. If progress is slow, you know it is because you need to adjust. If results are strong, you know it is because of your effort. This ownership builds confidence. You stop feeling like a victim of circumstances. You start feeling like the driver of your destiny. That shift is empowering. The act of writing down your progress builds clarity. Thoughts are vague. Records are precise. When you see it on paper or in a chart or in a log, it forces you to confront reality. That clarity cuts through excuses and confusion. It shows you where you stand, and once you know where you stand, you know what to do next. Clarity reduces stress, because instead of wandering aimlessly, you act deliberately. Over time, tracking and fixing becomes second nature. You stop resisting it. It becomes part of who you are. Just as you eat every day and sleep every day, you review every day. That rhythm creates momentum. You no longer drift through weeks without direction. You live each day with purpose, knowing that each step is part of a larger journey. The consistency builds strength, not only in your skill but in your character. It is important to understand that tracking is not about perfection. You will have days where progress is small or even negative. That is not failure, that is information. When you track honestly, even setbacks teach you. They show you what to adjust, what to avoid, what to change. Every entry in your record, good or bad, is valuable. It all becomes fuel for improvement. The best in every field track relentlessly. Athletes study their performance frame by frame. Musicians listen to every note. Entrepreneurs review every number. They do not leave improvement to chance. They measure, they analyze, they adjust. That is why they keep advancing while others plateau. You can do the same. You can bring that same level of discipline to your own journey, no matter the field. If you truly want to rise above average, you must live by this rule. Track daily. Fix weaknesses immediately. Do not delay. Do not ignore. Do not sugarcoat. Be brutally honest with yourself, but also be committed to improvement. Each day is a new opportunity. Each day you measure, you grow. Each day you correct, you strengthen. And with enough days stacked together, you become unstoppable. In the end, success is not about dramatic moments. It is about the accumulation of small, consistent improvements. You track, you fix, you repeat. That simple process builds a foundation no one can shake. It creates confidence, resilience, and mastery. While others drift aimlessly, you move forward with clarity and purpose. That is how you become the best at anything.
Chapter 7. Learn from every rival and turn envy into fuel. Every person who reaches for greatness will face rivals. It is part of the journey. When you aim to be the best, you automatically put yourself in competition with others who want the same. The presence of rivals can trigger feelings of envy, insecurity, and frustration. These emotions are natural, but what separates champions from the rest is how they respond to them. The average person lets envy poison their spirit. They waste energy complaining, criticizing, or comparing themselves endlessly. The best take that same energy and convert it into fuel. They learn from rivals instead of resenting them,
and they turn envy into drive that pushes them further than they could have gone alone. It begins with perspective. Instead of seeing rivals as threats, see them as teachers. Every rival has something to show you. They may have a skill you do not yet have. They may have a work ethic that surpasses yours. They may have strategies that are sharper or habits that are more disciplined. Instead of letting envy blind you, choose to study. Ask yourself, what can I learn from this person? What do they do that I can apply to my own journey? That question transforms rivalry into growth. When you shift into this mindset, envy loses its destructive power. It no longer eats at you. It no longer makes you feel small. Instead, it becomes a signal. Every time you feel envy rise, you know you are looking at something valuable. You are being shown a gap in your own game. You are being given a roadmap to improvement. The uncomfortable feeling becomes a tool. Instead of hiding from it, you lean into it. You use it to uncover what you need to build next. Learning from rivals also requires humility. Many people are too proud to admit someone else is better in certain areas. Their ego blocks their growth. But humility opens the door. When you can acknowledge someone else's strengths, you gain the power to adopt them. You are no longer stuck in the illusion of superiority. You can evolve because you are willing to learn. The greatest achievers never stop being students, and rivals provide some of the most powerful lessons. Rivals show you what is possible. Often, we underestimate what can be achieved. We limit ourselves because we have not seen an example of what is truly possible. But when you encounter a rival who outperforms you, it expands your vision. You see a higher standard. You see proof that more can be done. Instead of resenting it, use it as evidence. If they can do it, so can you. That realization removes excuses. It forces you to confront the truth that your limits are often self-imposed. Turning envy into fuel is about channeling emotion into action. Envy by itself drains you. It makes you bitter. But when you turn it into motivation, it becomes fire. You say to yourself, if they can do it, I can too. I will study, I will work, I will outlast, and I will rise. The energy of envy is powerful. It only becomes dangerous when misused. When you redirect it toward discipline and effort, it accelerates your progress. Rivals also keep you sharp. Without competition, complacency sets in. You might start to believe you are doing enough. You might relax. But a rival who pushes harder reminds you that there is no room for comfort. They keep you hungry. They remind you that excellence is not a destination, but a race that must be run every day. That constant pressure is uncomfortable, but it is also the environment where the best are forged. You must also understand that rivals are not your enemies. They are mirrors. They reflect your weaknesses. They expose the areas you have ignored. They highlight the parts of yourself that need growth. If you can accept this truth, you stop wasting energy hating them. You begin to thank them. Without them, you might never have pushed harder. Without them, you might have stayed average. They are part of your success, even if they do not know it. The process of learning from rivals can be very practical. Watch how they train. Observe how they prepare. Pay attention to how they recover from setbacks. Listen to what they say, and study what they do when no one is watching. Take notes. Compare it to your own routine. Identify gaps, then apply what you can. You do not need to copy everything. You take what is useful and leave the rest. The goal is not to become them, but to become a stronger version of yourself because of what they taught you indirectly. Envy also signals desire. You rarely feel envy towards something you do not care about. When you envy a rival, it means they have achieved something deeply important to you. That feeling can reveal what you truly want. Instead of denying it, embrace it. Let it show you your real goals. Then use that clarity to direct your energy. Envy points you toward your own ambitions. It is not a curse, it is a compass if you interpret it correctly. You must be careful not to let envy turn into comparison that destroys your self-worth. The point is not to constantly measure yourself against others in a way that makes you feel inferior. The point is to use them as fuel, not as a source of self-punishment. Comparison that inspires is healthy. Comparison that crushes you is toxic. The key difference is whether you focus on learning and action, or whether you focus on jealousy and despair. One lifts you, the other drags you down. You must choose wisely. In many ways, rivals are gifts. They give you an extra push that you could not generate on your own. They raise the standard. They show you the next level. They force you to work when you feel like resting. They keep you alert when you feel like relaxing. Without them, you might lose urgency. With them, you rise faster. It is not always pleasant, but it is powerful. Think about the satisfaction of transforming envy into achievement. Imagine seeing a rival succeed, feeling the sting of envy, and then using that energy to drive yourself harder. Months later, you surpass where you once were. You grow into someone stronger, sharper, more capable. The envy that once stung now feels like the fuel that carried you forward. You realize that without it, you might never have reached this point. That transformation builds pride, because you know you turned a negative into a positive. When you learn from rivals, you also build resilience against insecurity. You no longer fear people who are ahead of you. You do not crumble when you see someone doing better. You do not hide from challenges. Instead, you lean in. You welcome the presence of those who push you. You understand that every time you face a stronger rival, you are being given an opportunity to grow. That mindset turns competition from a threat into a blessing. This approach creates a cycle of constant growth. Each rival you meet becomes a stepping stone. Each wave of envy becomes energy. Each lesson learned becomes a new strength. Instead of fearing competition, you crave it. You want rivals because you know they will make you better. You are no longer intimidated, you are motivated. That cycle keeps you improving long after others plateau. The journey to being the best is not easy. It demands effort, sacrifice, and persistence. Rivals make it harder, but they also make it more rewarding. They sharpen you like nothing else can. If you choose to resent them, you waste the opportunity. If you choose to learn from them, you gain the hidden advantage. That advantage is not talent, not luck, but the ability to convert envy into progress. So whenever you feel that familiar sting of envy, pause and redirect it. Ask yourself what it is teaching you. Ask yourself what you can do with the energy. Do not waste time wishing they would fail. Use that time to make yourself stronger. Do not drown in jealousy. Rise with determination. Let envy remind you of your hunger. Let rivals show you the way. In the end, greatness is not achieved in isolation. It is sharpened through rivalry. The presence of others striving for the same goal is what pushes you beyond your limits. And if you can learn from every rival and turn envy into fuel, you will not only outgrow your competition, you will outgrow your former self. That is the true victory. Chapter 8.
Protect your focus fiercely and eliminate useless distractions. The ability to focus is one of the rarest skills in today's world. Everyone is busy, everyone is connected, and everyone is pulled in a thousand directions. Most people live with constant interruptions and endless distractions, yet they wonder why they cannot reach the top in anything they do. If you want to be the best at something, you must protect your focus, like it is the most valuable resource you own. Because it is. Without it, effort scatters, time is wasted, and progress slows to a crawl. With it, you can achieve extraordinary results in a fraction of the time. Focus is fragile. It does not survive in environments filled with noise and distraction. You must guard it fiercely, because every interruption takes more from you than just a few seconds. Research and experience both prove that it takes minutes, sometimes longer, to regain deep focus after breaking it. That means one small distraction can ruin an entire session of work or practice. The cost is invisible, but it is massive. Protecting your focus is not optional. It is the difference between excellence and mediocrity. Distractions are everywhere. They hide in your phone, in endless notifications, in conversations that add no value, in entertainment that consumes hours, in gossip that steals energy, in tasks that feel urgent but mean nothing. Most people allow these distractions to run their lives. They feel busy but accomplish little. They are always moving but never advancing. To be the best, you must make a different choice. You must eliminate what is useless and fight for the clarity that comes from true focus. Protecting your focus begins with deciding what truly matters. You cannot protect everything. You must identify the few things that actually move you toward being the best. Once you know them, you cut out the rest. This requires honesty. You must admit that much of what fills your day does not matter. It keeps you comfortable but not excellent. Once you recognize it, you can begin the process of elimination. Eliminating distractions takes courage, because many of them are comfortable, they give quick pleasure, they provide escape, they make life feel easier. But comfort is the enemy of mastery. If you want to rise above average, you must be willing to sacrifice comfort for clarity. You must be willing to say no to what most people say yes to. Every yes to distraction is a no to your future. Every no to distraction is a yes to your greatness. Focus is not just about removing distraction. It is about building an environment that supports deep work. If your environment is chaotic, your mind will be too. If your space is filled with interruptions, your attention will fracture. You must create conditions where focus thrives. This might mean silence, or it might mean structured routines, or it might mean setting boundaries with people around you. Whatever it looks like, you must design your environment to protect your attention. Protecting your focus also means protecting your energy. A tired mind cannot focus. The body drained of rest and nutrition cannot give full attention. Discipline in sleep, in health, in recovery, is not separate from focus. It is part of it. You cannot expect sharpness if you are constantly fatigued. If you want deep focus, you must care for the machine that creates it, your body and mind. Many people think multitasking is a strength. In reality, it is one of the greatest thieves of focus. Switching between tasks may feel productive, but it destroys deep concentration. The best understand this. They give full attention to one task at a time. Finish it with quality and move on. This way, their results are sharper and their progress is faster. Protecting your focus fiercely means refusing to split it across distractions, disguised as productive. Distractions are not only external, they are internal. Doubts, fears, unnecessary thoughts, and emotional noise can pull you away from the task at hand. To eliminate these, you must train your mind. You must learn to notice when your attention drifts and bring it back quickly. Meditation, journaling, and deliberate practice of awareness sharpen this skill. The mind will wander. The question is, how fast can you return? The faster you return, the stronger your focus becomes. Protecting focus also requires setting boundaries with others. People will demand your time. They will pull you into conversations, tasks, and obligations that do not serve your mission. If you say yes to everything, you dilute your attention until nothing meaningful gets done. Learning to say no is one of the most powerful skills you can develop. No is not rejection, it is protection. It protects your time, your focus, and your future. Eliminating useless distractions does not mean eliminating joy. It means being intentional about where your attention goes. You can rest, you can enjoy entertainment, you can spend time with friends, but it must be chosen deliberately. It cannot be mindless. If it recharges you, it is valuable. If it drains you, or steals hours without return, it is useless. You must learn to make that distinction. When you fiercely protect your focus, your results change dramatically. Hours that were once wasted become productive. Tasks that once took days take hours. Progress that felt slow becomes rapid. You accomplish more with less effort because your attention is fully invested. You move ahead of those who are constantly distracted, not because you worked longer, but because you worked sharper. That is the hidden power of focus. Protecting focus also builds self-respect. When you commit to your priorities and defend them against distraction, you prove to yourself that your goals matter. You no longer treat them as optional. You no longer let them be interrupted by trivial things. This strengthens your identity. You see yourself as someone serious, disciplined, and unstoppable. That identity fuels even greater focus, creating a cycle of success. One of the hardest distractions to eliminate is comparison. Watching what others are doing can consume enormous amounts of energy. You scroll, you compare, you feel behind, you feel jealous. None of it helps you. Comparison is a mental distraction that pulls you away from your own work. Protecting your focus means staying in your lane. You study others only to learn, not to envy. You direct most of your attention back to your own progress, because that is the only thing you can control. Protecting focus fiercely also means being willing to feel bored. Distractions often disguise themselves as relief from boredom. When the work feels slow or dull, it is easy to reach for something stimulating. But this destroys momentum. If you want to be the best, you must train yourself to sit with the boredom and keep working. Breakthroughs often come just after the boring stretch. If you quit for distraction, you miss them. Every distraction eliminated is an investment in your growth. Every hour reclaimed is a step closer to mastery. The best know that time and attention are limited, and they treat them like treasure. They refuse to waste them on the useless. They give them only to what matters. This is why they achieve results that seem impossible to others. They are not superhuman, they are simply focused. Imagine the power of living each day with full focus. Imagine the clarity of knowing what matters and giving it your entire attention. Imagine how much faster you would grow if you stopped scattering your energy across meaningless distractions. That life is possible if you choose to protect your focus fiercely. It will not be easy, because distractions will fight for your attention. But if you win that battle daily, the rewards will be extraordinary. To be the best, you must guard your focus with everything you have. Cut out the useless. Say no without guilt. Build an environment that supports clarity. Train your mind to return quickly when it drifts. Care for your body so your attention stays sharp. Live intentionally with your time. When you do this, you unlock levels of productivity, growth, and mastery that few ever reach. The world is full of noise. Most people will drown in it, but you do not have to. You can choose a different path. You can choose to eliminate the useless and protect your focus, like your future depends on it, because it does. In those hours of deep uninterrupted attention, you will create results that others only dream about. That is how you separate yourself. That is how you rise to the top, and that is how you become the best.
Chapter 9. Chapter Master Patience. And give years to perfect your craft. Mastery is not built in days or weeks. It is not the result of sudden bursts of effort or flashes of inspiration. Mastery is the outcome of years of patient dedication, a steady commitment to refining your craft until it reaches levels few others will ever achieve. The temptation in today's world is to chase speed. People want quick results, instant recognition, immediate rewards, but nothing lasting comes from impatience. If you want to be the best at anything, you must master patience and accept that greatness requires years of focus, discipline, and deliberate practice. Patience is not weakness,
it is strength under control. It is the ability to endure the slow pace of progress without losing faith in the process. Most people quit not because they lack talent, but because they lack patience. They expect results too soon. They measure success by immediate gains instead of long-term growth. And when they don't see instant rewards, they give up. Those who master patience, however, keep going long after others stop. They trust the process even when progress feels invisible. They stay with it until the results accumulate into something remarkable. Every craft has layers. At the beginning, you learn the basics. They come quickly. Improvement is obvious. But soon, progress slows. Each new level requires more effort for smaller gains. This is where patience is tested. The impatient give up when growth is no longer rapid. The patient accept that mastery lives in the slow grind, the years of repetition, the endless refinement of details. They understand that progress is not always visible day to day, but over time, the accumulation of effort produces transformation. Think about any master in history. Artists, musicians, athletes, leaders, all of them gave years, often decades, to their craft. They did not rush. They did not look for shortcuts. They accepted that greatness would cost them time, and they paid that price willingly. The world sees their brilliance today, but forgets the years behind the scenes. That is the price of mastery, patience plus persistence over time. Patience also builds depth. When you give years to your craft, you go beyond surface knowledge. You begin to understand nuances, subtleties, and connections that others miss. You see patterns where others see confusion. You respond with instinct because your years of experience guide you. That kind of depth cannot be faked. It cannot be downloaded. It is earned through patient repetition and deliberate attention over time. Impatience creates fragility. If you are always chasing fast results, you will constantly jump from one thing to another. You will never stay long enough to build anything solid. Your skills will remain shallow. Your achievements will be temporary. Patience, on the other hand, creates stability. You stay with one path long enough to grow roots. Those roots anchor you. They give you resilience. They allow you to weather setbacks without being shaken. Years of patient practice also give you wisdom. You learn not only how to succeed, but also how to fail with grace. How to recover, how to adjust, and how to endure. You see cycles, times of growth, times of stagnation, times of breakthrough. You stop being discouraged by temporary struggles because you know they are part of the process. You no longer panic at setbacks because you trust that time and persistence will carry you forward. That wisdom comes only from years of patient dedication. Patience also changes your relationship with effort. Instead of seeing effort as punishment, you see it as investment. You know that each day you put in is a deposit toward mastery. You do not need immediate payoff, because you trust that the payoff will come later. That mindset frees you from frustration. You no longer demand quick reward. You focus on doing the work today, knowing that the results will appear in their time. Giving years to perfect your craft also builds identity. When you stay with something for long enough, it becomes part of who you are. You are not just someone trying to succeed, you become the craftsman, the expert, the professional. This identity shapes your behavior. You carry yourself differently. You demand more from yourself. You set higher standards, and others begin to recognize you as the master of your field. That recognition is earned through years of patience. Patience is not passive. It is active persistence. It means showing up every day, working diligently, and accepting that growth is slow but steady. It means pushing forward even when progress is invisible. It means trusting that time will magnify your effort. Patience is not waiting idly. It is working faithfully without demanding immediate reward. That is the true test of commitment. Most people underestimate how much they can achieve in a decade. They focus only on what they can achieve in a week or a month. This short-term mindset keeps them trapped. But if you decide to give years to your craft,
you open the door to levels of mastery that few will ever know. Imagine where you could be if you practiced with dedication for 10 years. Imagine the strength, skill, and wisdom you would possess. That vision should excite you more than any short-term reward. Patience also teaches humility. You realize that mastery is not conquered quickly. You accept that no matter how talented you are, you must still pay your dues in time. This humility keeps you teachable. It keeps you curious. It prevents arrogance. You never feel finished, because you know there is always more to learn. That humility fuels continuous growth. Giving years to your craft also develops trust from others. People may be impressed by quick talent, but they respect longevity. They trust those who have endured for years. They know that if you have given decades to something, you are reliable, disciplined, and authentic. That reputation is invaluable. It opens doors, attracts opportunities, and builds influence. Patience also brings joy. When you give years to something, you begin to love the process itself. You no longer chase only the outcome. You find fulfillment in the daily practice, in the small improvements, in the rhythm of consistent effort. The craft becomes part of your life, not just a means to an end. That joy sustains you when the work feels heavy. It keeps you going long after others quit. To master patience, you must reframe how you see time. Instead of asking, "How quickly can I succeed?" ask, "How deeply can I grow if I give this years?" Instead of chasing speed, chase quality. Instead of demanding immediate results, demand consistency from yourself. When you think in years, you free yourself from the frustration of slow progress. You accept that mastery is a marathon, not a sprint. The truth is, there are no shortcuts to greatness. You cannot bypass the years. You cannot hack your way to mastery. Every great achievement is built on time. Every skill perfected is the product of years. Every reputation that lasts is earned through patience. If you try to skip the years, you skip the depth. If you embrace the years, you embrace mastery. So commit yourself to patience. Give years to your craft. Stay with it when progress feels invisible. Trust that the time is not wasted. Every repetition, every lesson, every day adds to the foundation. Over time, the results will be undeniable. Others will see the brilliance, but only you will know the years behind it. And that is the essence of mastery. Patience plus time, lived with discipline and dedication. The ones who master patience and give years to perfect their craft are the ones who stand at the top when others have long since walked away. They are the ones who prove that greatness cannot be rushed, but it can be earned. If you choose patience, if you choose the long road, you will one day look back with pride, knowing you gave your years to something worthy, and in return, it gave you mastery.
Chapter 10. Refuse average results until excellence becomes your standard. Excellence is never an accident. It does not appear by chance, and it does not happen to people who tolerate average work. Excellence belongs to those who refuse to accept mediocrity, who push past good enough, and who raise their standards so high that average feels unacceptable. If you want to be the best at anything, you must decide that you will not settle for ordinary results. You must demand more from yourself than others expect. Excellence must become your personal standard, not a rare exception. Average is comfortable. It is safe. It does not demand risk, sacrifice, or long hours. That is why most people stay there. They settle for average because it does not stretch them. But the price of average is heavy. It means living below your potential. It means knowing you could do more, but choosing not to. It means trading pride for convenience. The few who rise above are those who cannot stand to live in that space. They refuse it. They see average results and decide, "This is not who I am. I will keep going until I reach excellence." Excellence is a habit. It is not something you do once in a while when the mood is right. It is the standard you bring to every action, every decision, every effort. When you make excellence your default, everything changes. You stop producing work that embarrasses you. You stop cutting corners. You stop hiding behind excuses.
You know that whatever you put your name on reflects who you are, and you will not allow your name to be attached to mediocrity. Refusing average results builds trust within yourself. When you consistently demand excellence, you begin to rely on your own discipline. You no longer wonder whether you will show up fully. You know you will. That reliability creates confidence. You walk into every challenge, knowing that your standard is higher than most. That quiet confidence is one of the greatest advantages you can carry, because it means you never lower yourself to the level of average effort. Excellence requires discomfort. It means going back to fix mistakes others would leave behind. It means repeating until the result is flawless. It means spending extra time when no one else is watching. This is why so few commit to it. They do not want the discomfort. But those who do embrace it create work that stands out. They create performances that cannot be ignored. They build reputations that open doors. Excellence shines in every field because it is so rare. When you refuse average results, you set yourself apart immediately. Most people stop as soon as the work is acceptable. They say, "This is fine." But fine is not excellent. Fine does not change lives. Fine does not win championships, build empires, or create legacies. Excellence does. Excellence is what makes others remember your name long after the moment has passed. Excellence is what separates the few from the many. Raising your standard to excellence is not about perfection. It is about consistency. You will make mistakes. You will fail. But when excellence is your standard, even your failures are stronger than most people's successes. You hold yourself to a higher level, so your average day produces results that others would be proud of. Over time, this gap becomes massive. While others plateau, you continue to grow. While others settle, you continue to rise. Excellence is also contagious. When you demand it from yourself, others notice. They feel it in the way you carry yourself, in the quality of your work, in the pride you take in every detail. You inspire others to raise their standards. People trust you more because they know you do not cut corners. Leaders emerge this way, not by words, but by standards lived daily. Excellence becomes your reputation. To refuse average results, you must be willing to go beyond minimum expectations. Average lives in the minimum. It says, "What is the least I can do and still get by?" Excellence asks, "What is the most I can give to create the best result possible?" That shift changes everything. It moves you from survival to mastery. It transforms your mindset from one of avoiding failure to one of pursuing greatness. Average results drain motivation. When you produce work that does not reflect your potential, you feel it inside. You know you left something undone. That knowledge weakens your confidence. But when you demand excellence, you feel pride in your efforts. You look back at the work and know you gave it everything. That pride builds energy. It creates momentum. It fuels you for the next challenge. Excellence is not about being better than others. It is about being better than you were yesterday. It is about measuring yourself against your own highest potential and refusing to stop short of it. When excellence becomes your standard, you no longer compete with others. You compete with your own limits. That competition never ends, and it ensures continuous growth. One of the strongest reasons to reject average is that life will always test you. Unexpected challenges will come. If your standard is average, you will collapse under pressure. If your standard is excellence, you will rise even in difficulty. Excellence builds resilience. It trains you to operate at a higher level automatically. So when hard times arrive, you are ready. You do not scramble to rise to the occasion. You live there already. Excellence also creates opportunities. People notice quality. They notice consistency. They notice discipline. When your work reflects excellence, it attracts attention. It brings trust, respect, and reward. You do not need to chase recognition. Excellence brings it to you. Mediocrity hides you in the crowd. Excellence sets you apart. To make excellence your standard, you must practice it in small things. Excellence is not only in the big moment. It is in how you prepare, how you speak, how you organize your day, how you treat people, how you finish tasks. Each small act of excellence builds the habit. Soon it becomes automatic. You no longer wonder whether to give your best. You simply do, because it is who you are. Refusing average results will not make life easier. It will make it harder, but it will also make it meaningful. You will live with pride instead of regret. You will carry respect for yourself instead of disappointment. You will know that whatever happens, you lived by a standard that demanded your very best. That knowledge is worth every ounce of effort. In the end, the choice is simple. You can settle for average like most, or you can demand excellence until it becomes your standard. If you settle, you will live with regret. If you demand excellence, you will live with pride. The path of excellence is not crowded, because it is not easy, but it is the only path that leads to true greatness. Refuse average, insist on excellence, make it your way of life, and you will become the best at anything you choose.